Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Fitness, Food, and Freedom Podcast. I'm Jordan Stoltz, your host. Today, I'm going to be talking about three game-changing training techniques you may not have tried. This podcast episode is brought to you by you guys, the listeners. No sponsors today. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast, supporting it, and growing it over the last, five, six, 7 years, I think. Like, we've been doing something like that, 466 episodes in, and I'm grateful for everybody that tunes in, downloads episodes, and kind of, you know, chooses what they want to listen to. I make the podcast short, concise, actionable, and some things you can plug right into your fitness journey. If you like the show, go subscribe on YouTube as well. It's Stoltz Fit on YouTube if you want to watch video podcasts, and also check out some training vlogs, fitness tips, things like that, that are going to be put on the channel here in the near future as well. Today's episode, though, like I said, is about three game-changing training techniques. Done several nutrition-type episodes here in the recent past, and today I want to talk a little bit about nutrition. To kind of start today's show, though, I'm going to update you guys on my own fitness journey. If you guys have been keeping up with the podcast, been kind of doing, running a short, you know, little, I don't know if you call it a mini cut or a regular cut. It ended up being about 6 to 8 weeks, somewhere in there. Probably about six with a couple of weekends off in there. So ran about a 6 week fat loss phase, accomplished what I wanted to, got to about 200 pounds or so. So lost about 10 pounds, maybe a little bit more than that, maybe 10 to 15, somewhere in that range. And now, kind of just skipped any other phase and went right into a muscle gain phase, which I kind of think, as you know, nutrition strategy is totally fine. You don't have to do a maintenance phase. You don't have to do a slow reverse diet, maybe, unless you've been dieting for a super long time. With shorter cuts, and especially if you're more experienced, it's perfectly fine just to lose the fat, dump some water, glycogen, bump calories back up to gaining calories and getting that surplus and start taking a better advantage of your training. So I moved my calories up to about 3,600 calories per day. That's up from about somewhere around 3,000 was the cutting calories. Maybe about 2,900 is where they ended. So bumped them about 700 calories or a little bit less up to the gaining calories. So remember, this isn't a 700 calorie deficit that I was in. This is more of a jump from deficit to surplus. So we're probably talking like a 200 calorie surplus here to start, which should be a very slow rate of weight gain, which is kind of the goal. I like keeping my gaining phases long and controlled. So not a lot of weight gain piling on, not a lot of fat gain, but I like to stay in that gaining phase for a super long time to take the most advantage of training possible and make the most progress possible. So that was a couple weeks ago. Over the first couple weeks at that number, of course, gained a little bit of weight, which is to be expected, especially when your carbs jump from in the 300 range to over 400. Very much expected you'll hold on to some water from that and see more weight fluctuation on the scale, like sometimes really high, sometimes dipping pretty low again, depending on what I eat and how that timing is and how much food's in your belly. All of these things go into effect. This is the first week or two. Like I said, the gaining phases I like are long. I think that's how you make the most progress. And I totally expect to have to increase calories further. My last gaining phase, which was only, it only ended about 2 months ago because of the fat loss phase here interrupting it, but my calories got up to about 4,500. So pretty high. I don't expect them to get that high in the winter months. I am a little bit less active. I have a walking pad that I work from home on, walk the dogs once a day, play with the toddler as much as I can, train every day. But still with that, that is a lot less active than doing actual summer activities and chores and farm work and all that stuff outside. So they probably won't get above 4,000, I'm guessing, maybe even stay around 3,600 the entire time. And that's the goal, right? I like having high calories, but the goal isn't the highest calories possible. It's just whatever is needed to see the rate of weight gain that I want. So that's kind of what we're doing right now. I do try to spend most of the year gaining, so it's kind of a slow, steady approach, you know, to building muscle, adding strength. I think that when calories are higher in a surplus, everything improves. You know, your mood, and this is speaking for myself, mood, stress management, sleep quality, training intensity, all that stuff improves quite a bit when on higher calories. I even find the little things improve, like I drink less caffeine if my calories are high. You know, I actually move around more and get more cardio in, even though I would weigh more and be eating more food, just because I have more energy to do it. So you're kind of less sluggish and low energy throughout the day. So if those are some things that sound totally foreign to you, it's probably because your calories stay too low for too long of a stretch. And I guarantee you, I don't know the exact percentage, but a majority of the people listening to this podcast stay in fat loss phases far too long and need to actually phase things out a little bit better and transition to gaining phases for most of the year, at least maintenance phases, and phase their fat loss phases to be shorter, more aggressive, and that will actually help them lose the fat and then focus on building, which will help the metabolism and allow them to eat more calories like I can on the fat loss phases. So I've done episodes on this in the past, and if you want to kind of figure out how to do that for yourself, you can reach out to jordanstoltzfitness@gmail.com, and I'll help you out. I'll also put out more content like this and about this on the YouTube channel, Stoltz Fit. So this one, that being said, this gaining phase might be a little bit, a tad bit shorter just because of some things coming up and just kind of running this gaining phase over the holidays, I think. Just enjoying the holiday food. Can't beat a bulk over the holidays. You know, going to get Thanksgiving coming in here, fall stuff coming in, shoot, pumpkin spice lattes. And then in early January or February, kind of pre-spring, we'll maybe do another fat loss phase and kind of push things a little bit further at that time. So kind of planning my year in advance a little bit and scheduling things out to get to the long-term goal for 2024. We'll dive into the fitness quote of the day now and talk about today's topic. The fitness quote of the day is, "The key to success is starting before you're ready." This is something that I have to continuously remind myself of, not in this exact words, but it's kind of that ready, fire, aim approach, or just the concept of taking action and how powerful that is in business, finance, relationships, experiences, and fitness. Paralysis by analysis is the most common mistake I've made, probably in everything in my life. And it's the most common mistake I see as a coach, is people thinking things need to be perfect before they can actually get started. They have to have a perfectly structured plan, everything put into place, all the circumstances and environment tailor fit to what they want to do. But a quote I had several weeks ago in the podcast was to not make perfect the enemy of good. Having things good and actually starting is much better than being perfect and forcing things to be perfect before you actually get started. That kind of paralysis, not moving at all, will prevent you from making any progress more than not having a perfect plan, because you aren't actually starting. Action is much more important than the actual plan is. A perfect plan that's not done consistently is far worse than an imperfect plan that's done consistently. That action and consistency beats all. You see bodybuilders, powerlifters, kids, teenagers, college students that make incredible progress, more than someone who's read all the scientific studies, has a degree, you know, works in the field, has all these things dialed in, because they like it, they push the intensity, and they're consistent with it. That really goes a lot further than things being perfect. So I will always, as a coach, help a person find what they like and will stick to way before we'll dial things in to be perfect. If somebody won't track their macros, if their protein's too high, I will drop their protein so they at least track their macros and then hit that amount of protein they can stick to and enjoy, and then the proper calories, right? I'd much rather that than always trying to force that square peg into the round hole with optimal protein. Same with training. If somebody will start skipping a lot of sessions if I have too many Bulgarian split squats or some movement that they don't like. I'm not going to force them to do that movement. We can implement other things, machines, bodyweight stuff, explosive stuff, whatever else they enjoy, that will yield them just about as good of progress. Trust me, at some point, especially after you're a beginner and you're a little bit more advanced, you can only make so much progress anyways. So in muscle building wise, if you know, would you rather gain 1.1 pounds of muscle in the year versus 0.8 pounds if, you know, you hate the entire process of getting to that 1.1 and enjoy the 0.8? No, you'd probably pick the part you enjoy. So don't have this paralysis by analysis. Just start, take action, be consistent. The rest will fall into place and you can kind of make adjustments and tweaks as you go from a source like this podcast. Hopefully plug in some actionable stuff. So let's dive into today's topic. We're going to talk about training techniques with calories being a little bit higher. Pretty excited about training right now and naturally want to do a podcast episode on it and talk a little bit more about some training approaches that I'm experimenting with that I haven't done a lot of and that I don't think are that popular, but are actually really effective. And novelty is a big thing in training, right? So if you haven't done a certain rep range, rep timing, maybe just a training technique, like an intensity technique, like supersets, drop sets, just implementing those novelty items will yield good progress because it's new for your body. This isn't saying you need to shock your body every workout like some bodybuilders or bros say, but you do need to implement some sort of new movements, new rep ranges, something to keep your training not stale, one for enjoyment, and two to actually provide your body that novelty to make it adapt and grow. So let's get into this list. I have just three I want to talk about, and I've been playing with these the last few weeks and have been enjoying all of them, really. And actually really just playing with the first two. The third one is something I have done in the past that I want to talk about more. Number one is to change your rep ranges to super high or super low reps. This time around, I've been playing with more super high reps, going and rep ranges above what I would normally consider doing. Typically, most of my training takes place in the 6 to 15 rep range. That's kind of what I find is ideal for injury prevention, hypertrophy, and strength gains. You can make very good strength gains with 6 to 8 reps. You don't have to train lower than that, and you can make great hypertrophy with 6 to 15 without having to go way above. So I stick most of my training in there. I still do. But sometimes in the training now, I will implement some super high reps, like in the 20 to 30 range. Because actually, for hypertrophy, studies show that anywhere in the 6 to 30 range is very comparable hypertrophy results, which means you can gain a lot of muscle in the 30 rep range if you're consistent with progressive overload and actually improving your intensity and performance every week on that. So I've been doing higher reps, like 20, 30 reps, and have been liking it, surprisingly. I mean, it's kind of torturous, but also I've been liking it. Obviously, the pump you get is absurd, especially if your calories are high and you're doing that high of reps. And really, it's the novelty, right? You get a little more sore. You get a little bit of like you feeling muscles that you didn't normally feel in lower reps because you've been doing so many reps of them. Like I'll do like a compound set, for example, just to explain how I use sets of 30. So on like a cable curl or something, I'll do three movements with three different grips for 10 reps each without resting. So I'll do like a narrow cable curl into a shoulder width cable curl into a wide cable curl. It's kind of a mechanical drop set in the sense the curl's getting easier as I get wider, but I am doing 30 curls and, essentially. I did one for chest the other day, kind of at the end of the workout, which was 10 like guillotine presses, so presses up to the neck, 10 normal bench press, and then 10 reverse grip bench press, and essentially kind of shortening the range of motion as the set went on. So that's a good way to do it. I've also just done straight 30 rep sets, 20 rep sets of things like shrugs and lateral raises. So the shoulders, I think, respond to high reps really well, and that's a good movement to use. But also, I would challenge you to use super low reps if you haven't before. If you do stick in that higher rep range, like, you know, in that even 6 to 15, especially in the 15 to 20 range, if that's where you do a lot of your training, try doing some super low rep work on compound movements, like, you know, doubles of RDLs, triples on pull-ups with weight attached to a belt, you know, sets of five dips with a lot of heavy weight. Those things are going to really stimulate you in a way you didn't think was possible with only two or three reps, because they're compound. You're using every muscle in your body. You know, you will see tremendous strength gains from doing that week over week. Like, you'll be adding 10, 15 pounds to those movements because the reps are so low. And you'll also see hypertrophy gains, I think, especially if you kind of equate the volume. So if you're used to doing three sets of eight, that is, you know, about 25 reps, because you're doing 24. I mean, it's 24 reps. We could just be specific, I guess. So instead, if you do sets of three, you could do eight sets of three, for example, or 12 sets of two with 30 seconds to a minute rest in between. Lower rep, higher weight stuff is actually really valuable, and I find it to be a very valuable tool. I have used a lot of this in the past from some inspiration on some strength coaches that I follow and are connected with. So this is a good strategy, I think, and I really enjoy it for gaining phases when you are increasing strength a lot. The super high rep stuff is good too, because you get a great pump with the gaining phases, but I actually like that stuff too when calories are low, because you're just getting such a burn and a pump that you're not really worried and anxious about the weight not being that high, which can be an issue if you are cutting. So that's something that I like. Number two is long eccentrics and pauses. I'm always like a control the range of motion guy. Implement pauses to work on weaknesses has been something I've been doing for a long time. Like, if you're weak off your chest in the bench, do a 2 second pause bench. If you're weak in the bottom of the squat, pause at the bottom of the squat, right? If you're weak midpoint of the deadlift, lift the bar up a few inches, pause and up, right? These are the kind of things that I've done for a long time. But what about longer? What about 4 second eccentrics or pauses? What about 30 second eccentrics, like just painfully slow? What kind of progress can you make doing that? And I think actually it's been kind of a fun thing to play with too. I've done anywhere from 4 up to 30 second eccentrics. So like, I've done lat pull downs with 30 second eccentrics on a timer, just as slow as you can possibly let it go. And two reps, so a minute set of two with a 30 second eccentrics, and do 4 or 5 sets of that. I've been playing with that a little bit. And then most of the work has been in that 4 to 5 second eccentrics, especially for isolation work. So things like curls, tricep work, right? Like, I did a cable skull crusher the other day, letting it down, 5 seconds down, pause, up, extra control, and making sure you get full range of motion. It's been very good. And I've actually found, just from self-experimentation, like, I say go for it and try everything, but I haven't as much enjoyed anything longer than 5 seconds of eccentric, because I think you kind of lose some connection and don't get as much concentric reps when you start doing longer, like 10 second, 20 second, 30 second is a little bit brutal. And you're essentially just playing with isometrics at that point almost, because you're just trying to resist all the way through the movement. So I'm not as much of a fan, but it is worth a try. And I think it can be worth implementing in your training, especially in that 4 to 5 and even to 10 second length for eccentrics and pauses. If you're not used to doing, you know, a tricep push down and holding the bottom for 3-4 seconds, try that. It might change how much you connect with that muscle and the stimulus you get. The third one is the kind of the one that I've used in the past before. And if you've trained with me as a coach through the coaching program and everything, you know that I like doing giant sets if the person has the gym equipment availability for it. So people with home gyms or in garage gyms and stuff like that use these a lot more efficiently than someone in a commercial gym. But a giant set. A giant set is a great time saver for one. I think it's, well, first I'll explain before the benefits, we'll back up a little bit and explain what a giant set is. Essentially, you're doing more than two movements. Typically, I do three back to back to back with no rest, and then you rest. So you're getting three movements in, you rest, three movements in, you rest. How I usually structure it is like a movement that's either the opposing muscle group for what you're working or an explosive movement of what you're working, the actual movement you want to work, and then an ab movement to kind of implement that core work in throughout the workout and trickle it in instead of a whole day or something dedicated to it. So like if you are bench pressing, it would maybe look like some bent over rows into the bench press into leg lifts on the bench. Or maybe you're doing deadlifts. It would look like an explosive kettlebell swing, your deadlifts, and then hanging leg raises or something. Overhead press could be pull-ups, overhead press, and sit-ups, right? Like that's the kind of thing we're looking at. There's some benefits here. One is time saving. You're getting in double the movements, right? Without resting as much, you're getting in that example with pull-ups and overhead press, your back work, your vertical pulls, and your vertical presses. So that's beneficial. And your ab work's getting trickled in too. So you're getting extra ab work than you're probably doing now because a lot of people skip it, let's be honest. And you're also getting conditioning because you're not resting as much. You're jumping from one thing to the other. You're getting really good work capacity, being able to kind of hang in, I mean, kind of like a CrossFit style type training, except that's really not the goal. It's not really like the same type of style, but it is the same energy system where you're moving movement to movement with no rest or little rest, and then you take a big rest at the end, repeat, and you can still see tremendous strength gains with this. Maybe not optimal, but again, if you like it and you can do it consistently, there are benefits to it if you enjoy it. I really enjoy this for the work capacity aspect and for kind of shortening big workouts that contain a lot of compound movements. Like I can do a push workout that has bench press, incline bench, some dumbbell bench, and in that workout I can include back work, I can include extra isolation for the chest, I can include a lot of ab work in the same amount of time it takes me to do like four exercises because of the giant sets. So if you are short on time, you want to build more work capacity, you want to build your abs a little bit more, this could be a great option for you if you train in a space that won't be super annoyed by you taking up so much equipment, right? If you train somewhere where you might get glared at if you have a set of dumbbells, a pull-up bar, a bench, and a barbell all at once in your use, maybe don't train in this style. But if you do have a home gym or a smaller kind of private gym, this could be a really good method. And those are some techniques that you could try. I really think that implementing new things in your training, for lack of a better term, keeps it spicy, and keeping it spicy and enjoyable is one of the primary keys to progress. Because again, the perfect program doesn't need to be in place for you to make good progress. What you need is consistency and action. Actually starting something is the key to progress. As the fitness quote today said, the key to success is starting before you're ready. Even if you don't feel like you're ready to start something new or implement something new, just trying it out and doing it will bring very good results, even if it's not perfect. And that's what I want to talk about today. Hopefully you guys are doing great in your training, your nutrition. And if you guys need any help in those areas, reach out to jordansultzfitness@gmail.com. I always put the email there in the description of the videos on the podcast. And again, go follow Stultz Fit on YouTube if you're not yet. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and I will talk to you later.